pine warbler sitting on a holly lily seems to have the whole morning out right in front of him, and everything he sings from the branch that he's sitting on, it seems to hush the leaves and the colors all around. Now first he sings and then he goes, and what it means it's hard to know.
Today I wanted to hit on a pretty big topic that I believe personally that it is a much needed topic to talk about, because for many years I've definitely struggled with tracking my time and budgeting my time, so to speak. And what that has led to is being exhausted all the time, and especially in now doing ministry and working at a church 24/7, being there all the time, I found myself at the very beginning getting very drained, and there was always a million things to do, but I never had the energy to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what am I doing wrong? I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. I'm doing everything that I need to do. I'm eating well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working out. Like, everything they've said that needs to happen is happening.
Yeah.
And yet I can't do ministry properly because I can't even think straight when I get to the end of a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is still the case, and I'm still learning.
Yeah.
But I have started to figure out a system that's really starting to work for me. And so I just wanted to hit on this topic because I know that there's going to be other people out there that struggled with the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you struggled with this at all?
Yeah. Yep.
In what ways?
It's something that I certainly don't feel like I've mastered it by any stretch.
Yeah.
I've got young kids that I want to spend a good amount of time with because I love them a lot, and I couldn't imagine my life without them now. So I really love spending time with them. I've also got gifts that I love to exercise in the church. Teaching is one of them. And so I'm always looking for opportunities now to teach, but right now there's a bunch of openings in the church in terms of teaching. And so the easy thing for me would be, oh yeah, I'll teach in peak youth, and then I'll teach in children's ministry, and then I'll help on the large group too. But I've got to pick one. If I want to do it well, and if I want it to really mean a lot to people, and I've got to pick one and just do it really well.
Yeah.
And my job too is getting more and more demanding. And when you get better at your job, they give you more responsibility. And so you're always having to down the road take a step back and say, all right, like, what do I need to pare down now in my life? Because all of a sudden I've got all these different responsibilities now that weren't there before, because I'm actually getting better at my job, or you get promoted, or whatever it may be. So,
which is always a blessing, but then, and you're really excited about it, and then you realize how much more you have to do now. What did I get myself into?
Yeah. Yep.
Why did I work so hard?
Yep.
I liked my other job a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, it, and I'm not really good at this, but I am slowly getting better. But it really becomes, as you get higher at your job, delegation becomes more important too. And so knowing that you don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
And it really empowers other people too when you trust them, and when you give them some of the reins.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually takes a lot of stress off your own plate too.
Yep. No, that's a good point. And it's scripture too, part of the Ephesians 4 model.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really helpful for me because I believe we went over that in one of the staff meetings because I've always felt like I've had to do everything on my own too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes more naturally, I want to say, as a male. You just think that you have to provide for everybody. You think mm-hmm. that you have to just have it all figured out.
You have to be the one to fix it.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so when you're in that mindset, you feel like nobody else can do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. And it's actually biblical to train others to help you with those things. And then also they're learning a lot through that mm-hmm. stuff. And so that will also give you more time to do the bigger details, the whatever it is. It'll give you more time to do that important stuff. Not that the other stuff isn't important, but yeah, I think that was one thing that I really struggled with, having interns and stuff for campus services.
Yep.
Because I was like, you know, I don't know if they're going to get it done the way that I wanted to get it done.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, after I heard the Ephesians 4 model, it's like, if I train them, I put the time and effort into it.
Right.
And yes, that's maybe a little more work at first,
mm-hmm.
but then that's gonna help in the future when I don't have to be like, hey, cut this section of grass, or hey, this brick fell off the building. You know how to do that now because I showed you.
Yep.
And so it's like, okay, now I don't have to do every single brick.
Yeah.
Now I don't have to do every single lawn.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yep.
That's awesome. But it is a lot. It is more work at first.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. Yep.
Yep. Let's see.
Maybe I can talk to you about, there was a period started actually just before COVID or right when COVID was hitting. And, I was just doing a lot. And right at the beginning of COVID, I think the entire country was filled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And my gut kind of flared up, and I started just having no energy at all. And I lost 25 pounds, and I know that people can't see me, but I'm not a huge guy. I'm 6'4 and 170 pounds. And so when you lose 25 pounds for a lanky guy like me, that was pretty scary. And the first thing people think about is cancer,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't that, fortunately. And just went through so many different blood tests and had so many people praying for me. And it was the first time in my life where I had been in a place where I was entirely dependent on God and for people praying for me. And I was reaching out to people and saying, please pray for me. And so there's times with energy, and we go through seasons where we're in a more of a receiving end of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped every single ministry, thing I was doing. I dropped almost every single activity I was doing at the church, extracurricular stuff. I could barely keep up with my kids. I just come home and sit on the couch. And I finally found out that it was because I had low testosterone. And that also causes depression, and I spiraled down into that. I had never been depressed before, and so when I started to come out of it, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I was depressed. I wasn't really caring about anything for the past 6 months. And but that was a season where I needed to rest. I needed to completely clear my schedule and just utterly depend on God and ask him for his mercy. And I think too that everybody doesn't need to go through that, but they need to go through something that reminds them of their humanness and their need for dependency on God. And if God wants to do any great or big thing in your life, it's got to be because he's doing it and because we're relying on him to do it. If we're going to try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, it's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've also had a lot of health things that we couldn't really figure out and still can't really figure out. And I've kind of just dealt with it. And so it started in college when I was a junior, and I just felt tired all the time. And I was like, I don't know what this is. Like, mm-hmm. I'd never felt this before. I'd never felt depression like you were saying before.
Yep.
And I didn't even know what depression was. People would say that, and I'm like, I don't know what that word is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand people are depressed, but, like, what does that actually mean? Like, you're just tired. And then I actually got depression. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, there's no reason for me to be sad, but like, I really can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing everything I can and everything I've ever done to get out of mm-hmm. the depression. And it just wasn't doing anything. And again, I was like, God, like, please, like, I need help. And I still have seasons like this where like, I'm on my knees. And I like what you said. It reminds us of our humanness.
Yeah.
When we're in those times. And again, like, I hope that everybody, like, other people don't have to go through what we've gone through,
mm-hmm.
but there is times that I'm actually grateful for going through this stuff because I know that God's doing something from it. And it actually is very humbling. Especially when I get times of like a lot of energy and I'm like, man, I can just keep going. I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
And then I get brought low again and I'm exhausted. I get home and I can't even like figure out how to cut a carrot.
Yeah.
Like it is like fatigue to the max. Like I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
And so I've dealt with that for a while, but all that to say, I'm still able to work through that.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to come up with a system. And again, like I'm still learning what that system is and mm-hmm. how it works, but I've got a pretty good idea now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to talk about this. Cause I know that people need to hear how we work through this.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
What's one way that you found helpful to start to get through this?
Yeah. So for me, it was throughout this journey, I was blown away by how connected the physical and the spiritual, the physical and the emotional are.
Mm.
And I was really brought to a place of, how am I going to care for other people, for example, as an elder, if I can't even take care of myself? So I was kind of brought back to that point and really wanted to start seriously taking care of my body. And so I started eating really clean, cut out all dairy, all gluten. I cut out all sugar, all like processed sugars and stuff. And that brought my levels up a little bit. And then I found a medication that stimulates your pituitary gland, and that brought my testosterone.
Say that again.
It's a medication.
What was the gland?
Oh, pituitary.
that's awesome.
Yep. It tells your body to make more testosterone.
Okay.
And so that's what the medicine is designed to stimulate, that gland. And I gained the weight back in a month.
Wow.
I snapped out of the depression.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I had to go to an alternative medicine doctor too, because traditional doctors just throw antibiotics at problems a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I had a doctor that wanted to put me on antidepressants.
Yeah, I had that as well.
Yeah.
And that was like the one thing I wanted to stay away from.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So.
Not so, saying that anything's inherently wrong with it, but mm-hmm. I personally was just, I was like, that is one thing that I don't want to do is take an antidepressant to fix it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think the foundation of it all was honestly like I had the prayers of so many people mm-hmm. and God just guiding my doctor and helping me in that way. So I really attribute the foundation of it all to prayer.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's awesome. And I think it took a lot of patience and time for you too, because you probably had to go to countless amount of doctor's appointments and
yeah.
all of that. So.
Yeah, and it was frustrating too because I would only go like maybe once every 45 to 60 days. Mm-hmm. And so just going that long in between appointments and trying my best to do what I knew how to do. I mean, I probably went through 5 different diets.
Dang.
And each diet has got a totally separate grocery list. I mean, I was spending crazy amounts of money on food.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep, and that'll also happen with a gluten-free diet, which I unfortunately have to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Started that a year ago, and I also can't have dairy or eggs. And those are all my favorite food.
Yeah.
So when the doctor, I went to the allergist to find this out, and he was like, yeah, man, you can't have wheat anymore. He was like, all right, have a good day. I'm like, dude, you just changed my entire life.
Yeah.
All I ate was sandwiches.
Yep.
So now I don't know what to do.
And you don't think it affects you until it's taken away.
Right.
And then you realize, did food turn into my idol?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know why I'm feeling this sad just because I can't eat a wheat product anymore.
Yeah, I've never even thought about it like that.
Or a dairy product.
Yeah.
Like, how much emotional attachment did I actually have? Because it wasn't like I was just like a little bummed out. I mean, I was like, for a couple of weeks, I was like in a pretty low place.
Yeah, me too. I was like depressed.
Yeah.
Yep. I couldn't figure it out, and it actually made me not want to do it because I was like, this is stupid. I can't believe he thinks that I'm allergic to wheat.
Yeah.
Even though he did all these tests and everything, and it obviously showed that, but I was like, man, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to eat whatever I want. And I knew that it might be the case going into the doctor because my mom has celiacs.
Okay.
And so I was just like, I don't have celiacs, fortunately, right now. It could be the case later on in life, but I was just like, dude, I cannot believe it. I actually had to like mourn not eating that food anymore.
Yeah.
And people think I'm crazy still when I tell them I'm allergic to wheat, eggs, milk. They're like, dude, what do you eat?
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's actually a lot out there.
There is.
And we're definitely blessed to have a lot of options because if we were in the day before grocery stores, it might be a little bit harder.
Oh, yeah.
Not to eat that stuff. So just the fact that it is easy is a blessing.
Yeah, there's a lot of different options out there now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that was helpful too because my mom already had celiacs and she knew about that, so she was really helpful in helping me figure out what foods that I can eat.
Yeah, that's great.
And there is gluten-free bread, so I could still have sandwiches. It's just a little bit more crumbly and a little bit different, which they're still refining, I think. It's in the new stages of gluten-free and all that stuff. So.
Yep.
Even people who aren't gluten-free, I think, eat gluten-free sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's
getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've never lived in a better time for food alternatives.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's entire grocery stores just made up of that.
Yes, entire aisles, even in grocery stores that aren't specifically for that. Mm-hmm. So, we're blessed to have that now. But it's still, like you were saying, it's weird that we're so attached to how we eat and how we do things. And maybe it was an idol because we literally had to mourn not having a sandwich, which is crazy.
Yep. Yeah. And that's one of the gauges of how you know that you've put something in the place of God is when it's taken away. Is it just like a, that isn't that bad, or is it a major, like, just downfall? And that's a really good indication of, if you're putting something in the place of God, when it's taken away, how are you going to respond?
Yep. And I even have, like, at least 20 things circle my mind that I would feel that way if it were taken away. So maybe that's an adjustment that a lot of us need to make, of just thinking in that aspect. So
And that isn't to say that you can't be sad, but if you honestly look at yourself and say, why am I abnormally sad about this, then I think it's helpful.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great point. And so on the topic of energy management, I started reading this little pamphlet. I don't know if you've ever read this, Johnny.
No,
by Charles Hummel. And so it's probably, I want to say it's like 20 pages, if that. But it is such a quick read, and you can literally sit down maybe in an hour and read the entire thing. But it was just incredibly helpful in getting the movement of trying to get back to a healthy place and getting rest, getting what I call a godly rest, a biblical rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he talks about in this is, he first talks about one of the worst things you can do is think you can do it all on your own. And I was like, what does he mean by that at first? Like, and so if you know me, I'm not a fast reader, and I like to think about every single word. And some people can think about words and can read words and be like, yeah, I already know what that means. Like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like that. Yeah. So I'll hear something like that, and I'm like, you can do it all. The worst things you can do is think you can do it all on your own. Like, what? And so, like, digging into that more, I was like, okay, so to think that you're a part of, I guess to think that you don't need God is where he was coming from, where I think that he was coming from,
mm-hmm.
To start. And to think that you can just do it all on your own. And I go back to this all the time. I go back to thinking that, oh, you know what? Like, I got to provide. I have to do it. It's just me. And I even have, like, Chris will come up to me sometimes and say, you know, we're married, right? And I'm like, yes, I know. I got a tattoo on my ring finger. I know we're married. She's like, then you don't need to do this alone. And I'm like, huh. That's a good point. And she has to remind me of that all the time because I constantly think that I have to do something by myself on my own time.
Yeah.
And that, to me, really drains me really fast because, again, it's a performance thing.
Yeah.
And it's not true, and it's also not biblical.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So it reminds me of when God hit me upside the head with a spiritual 2x4 when I was teaching over in Honduras. And when you're a Christian and you've been following Jesus for a little while, sometimes you get your ego starts to build a little bit, your pride starts to build a little bit, and you think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And so when I realized I was going to Honduras, I was like, even though I was not like publicly advertising it, I guess you could say, or campaigning, I thought that I was doing God a favor by going there. And I thought that God really needed me so that lives could change over in Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first, I would say, 2 quarters, I was literally just beating my head against the wall because I was trying in my own strength to teach these kids and to teach them anything that would create any kind of impact in their lives. Eternal impact was what I was going for, but I was doing that all in my own strength.
Mm.
And I was reading John Piper's desiring God, and he's got a part in there where he just hits it very clear that God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that we get to do any of this amazing stuff is because he has chosen us. He has asked us to do it, but in no way, shape, or form does he need me to do any of it. It's all a 100% privilege.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And so from that point on, my life didn't get easier, but my perspective just totally changed. And I wasn't as easily agitated. I didn't react quite as quickly in anger when a student was not listening or acting up. That was a really, really valuable lesson, that one of those moments where you remember the time and place that you were there,
mm-hmm.
and God smacks you in the head with that spiritual 2x4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's really cool. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I had a mentor come up to me. This is probably only like 4 months ago or something like that, maybe not even. But I was telling him, I was like, he was asking me to do something, and he was like, man, what's wrong? You don't seem like you're like all here, and
mm-hmm.
what's going on? And I was just like, dude, honestly, I am burnt out.
Yeah.
I can't think right now. I don't really want to be here, even though I want to be here, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, man, especially in working at a church, but in other jobs too, you can be here 24/7 and nobody will care. You can work 24/7, 7 days a week, and nobody will notice, nobody will care. And I was like, huh, that seems a little harsh. And he was like, yeah, and guess what? If you died tomorrow, it would maybe take a week, we'd all mourn, we'd all be sad, and somebody else would fill your position, and God would use somebody else. And I was like, dang, that's harsh, man. And he was like, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
He was like, it is the truth. Mm-hmm. God will use somebody else. So if you were to fall off the face of the earth and be like, God, I don't want to do what you want me to do anymore, God will use somebody else.
Yeah.
And you got to keep that perspective, even though it sounds a little harsh.
Yeah.
You got to keep that perspective in mind.
Yep.
Because the second you start thinking you have to do it all on your own, everybody depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get stressed, you get exhausted very fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think one of my favorite verses, since we are doing, Johnny and I are doing a Colossians study,
mm-hmm.
With Johnny leading it, it's been pretty awesome so far. So I'm not going to give him too much credit, 'cause it's not done yet. No, it's been a blast, and it is honestly one of my favorite books in scripture, and I haven't fully read through it, which is crazy because it's pretty short. So you'd think, oh, if it's one of your favorite books, you would read through it. But until we did this study, I hadn't really even dug into it. So when y'all were like, we're doing Colossians study, I was like, let's go. This would be awesome. So Colossians 3:23 says, and this is just one example of excellence honors God, which says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And that verse just hits different, because so many times I realize, like, I'm doing something to please men, to please humans, to please one of my bosses or whatever that is. And then that's how I get drained. When I start getting to that mindset of like, oh, I'm doing this to please, my boss, then I realize, oh man, I'm doing this all for the wrong reasons, and that's why I'm running out of energy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. This kind of reminds me, I was curious about that word heartily.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, do your work heartily. And what does that really imply? And so I looked it up, and in the Greek, that's used interchangeably with life and with soul. And so it really drew my attention to the fact that we're supposed to work in such a way that the very deepest parts of us, the heart is called the intelligence of the will. And so wherever you make your decisions, whatever you do, it originates from that deep place of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it made me think that there's a deep place from the heart that God wants us to work from.
Yeah.
And some call it your soul. In this passage, it says heartily, but there's a deep place that God wants us to work from, and he wants us to work from that deep place for him, to please him, not other people. He is our boss, ultimately. And so, and the other thing that it kind of reminds me of is that a lot of people look at work as a bad thing or a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm.
But before Adam and Eve sinned, even before that, if you read in chapters 1 and 2, you can see God's original intentions for Adam and Eve. And so in Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." And so this has been God's plan from the very beginning, to put man on the earth so that he can provide value, so that he can care and keep God's creation. And so each task and each thing that we get to do is a part of that incredible purpose that God has set out from the very beginning of time.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. On that note, thinking of that, there's many times where I'll almost blame God for the loss of energy.
Mm.
And I'll be like, God, like, if I'm doing work for you, why aren't you giving me energy? You can do anything. Give me energy, please. That's all I need right now.
Yep.
And so, like, I start to blame God and say, God, like, you're the reason for my low energy. I'm doing work for you. I'm doing ministry. And now I'm drained.
Yeah.
But never once in Scripture does it say for us to completely exhaust ourselves to the point of no return.
Yeah.
And so that's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
That is 100% on us.
Yeah.
And we can continue to take things on. And then, like you were saying earlier, you were saying that I want to pour into one ministry so that I can do it really well,
mm-hmm.
and do it to the point that will actually affect people for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And there's different seasons that people go through too. I mean, I went through a season where I had to pull everything off. And I'll go through a season probably like in the empty nest period where I'll be able to put more on my schedule again. But now I'm trying to prioritize what I want to do, what I want to wait to do, different priorities in different seasons.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm also sorting through that as well. And like you were saying, there's a lot of positions that opened up at the church. And so now it's more of a time to be like, okay, now where does God want me?
Right.
Where do I need to be right now? And I can always come back to another ministry.
Yeah.
I can always come back to doing something else, but where should I be pouring my time right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can sometimes be a little overwhelming to discern.
Yeah.
And I've had times where I prayed and still was like, God, I'm not really sure if I'm hearing an answer, but I need it, because I know that if I try to make the decision, it's going to be way off and way wrong.
Yeah.
And so,
yep.
Yeah, just waiting for that still small voice in those times, I think, too, is really important. And actually giving yourself the time to listen to God and not just saying yes to everything right away has been really helpful to me. And actually being able to say, if somebody asks you, like, hey, can you get on stage and do this, or can you start running this ministry, or whatever it is, it's like, okay, you know what, I need to step back. I can't say yes to this right away. So I think one of my best excuses now is like, I'm going to go home and talk to my wife. I'm going to pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very valid. It needs to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And there's seasons too where it's going to be busier. And for a season, that's okay. But if you don't just make it a season. If it's just how you've decided to live, then that's when things start falling through the cracks.
Yep. And I think it can become a habit.
Yeah.
It can really be, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I had like the entire season of like 4 months or whatever. I was moving. I was doing great and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to keep it going.
Yeah.
And then, yep. like you were saying, things start falling through the cracks. Mm-hmm. You start realizing how tired you are. Mm-hmm. You're missing things that are really important.
Yeah.
And so there's no time to slow down with God,
yep.
which is crucial.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, it's easy to take this verse in Colossians and to take it kind of like you were saying that God wants me to do a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is talking about quality over quantity.
Yes. Yep.
And so it isn't about how many things that I do. It's about doing the things that God wants me to do and what God's called me to do.
Yep.
And figuring out which area that I'm to focus on.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Charles Hummel also says, the root of all sin is self-sufficiency, an independence from the rule of God. When we fail to wait prayerfully for God's guidance and strength, we are saying with our actions, if not with our words, that we don't need him.
Hmm.
And when I read that, I was like, whew. I don't know how many times I've been stuck in that self-sufficiency mindset.
Yeah.
And he's saying it's the root of all sin. And so I was like, what? Okay, Charles Hummel, I don't think you know everything.
Yeah.
The root of all sin, though. I was mm-hmm. like, whew.
Yeah.
But we were saying, like, it falls through the cracks. Things fall through the cracks. And
yeah.
then I get what he's saying here when he says that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, too, that when we approach the subject of work and rest and doing things for God, and we need to really approach it from a gospel perspective, too. And so we need that gospel fuel to really serve and to work the way that God
mm-hmm.
wants us to.
Yep.
And so in order to do that and have the right perspective, we need to know the kind of work that Jesus has done for us.
Absolutely.
And he did a whole lot of work. He didn't have to come down here on this earth, but he did. And he died for every single one of our sins, took the punishment in our place. He did that work so that we didn't have to. And so I think that that's a really important perspective to take as we talk about having the motivation to work and to serve, and even knowing that Jesus, for all of his power and for all of his greatness, it says that he came to serve, not to be served, that he came to serve us. And that is just an incredible thought to even meditate and think about for a period of time, because yeah. there is nothing that we deserve in us that would cause Jesus to serve us.
Right. Yep.
But yet he chose to anyways. And so what an amazing privilege and blessing it is to be able to serve God, because he first did it way, 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 way more than we could ever imagine to serve him.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And on that note, I wanted to end with one more thing that Charles Hummel hits on. So he was just saying, in all of this, we look at the example that Jesus set in Scripture, which is he lived in complete dependence on God, which will then help us actually to become our true selves. When we are living in complete dependence on God.
Hmm. Yeah.
What a good point. And
yep.
Yeah, just I don't really have any other words with that.
Yeah.
So
it's very well said, and we were not meant to do it alone.
Yep.
So and that doesn't just mean with other people. That speaks of the horizontal relationship that we have with everybody else, but we have a vertical relationship with God too that we need to be dependent on as well.
Absolutely.
This whole concept of work and rest, I think one of the most important perspectives to have is one of humility. I think it's pride and the focus of self that really gets in people's way
mm-hmm.
and causes them to burn out.
Absolutely.
But it's humility that we don't ask for a lot of times, but God knows what's truly best for us. And we can take a lot of the hard things that have come our way, and God turns them around for good. He works all things for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah. No, it's all great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. So I don't know about you, but these chairs are super uncomfy.
Yep. It is getting a little toasty in here.
And I think we've had a great conversation. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for coming out, even though we had a ton of failed planned podcasts.
It's all good.
Sessions.
We're here now.
Exactly. Yep. So thank you so much, Johnny.
Yeah.
And it was a great conversation.
Thank you.
All right. Peace.
He sings, and then he goes, and what it means, it's hard.